Our gospel reading comes to us from a book in the Bible. It's in the New Testament called John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. It says there, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Our second reading comes to us from a letter in the Bible called 1 Peter. It's chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. "For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh God, I remain more and more convinced of how beautiful your word is. It's amazing how each time we read the same passage of Scripture, the same passage from the Bible, we hear something a little bit differently than we did before. Some of this is because with life experience and in our growth in our intelligence, that affects how we view what we're reading. But also, hopefully most especially, each time we read your word, we hear more and more what it is that you have to say through it. Not just what it meant all those years ago when it was spoken, when it was written for the first time, but in the here and now. And so, God, I ask that what you have revealed to me in your word for this morning, for this day, that it might speak to each of us where we are in our lives right now. And though my words are not perfect, I know that your perfect word can speak through me. And so I ask that you would use me, your imperfect instrument, to convey your perfect word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you hear that? Can you hear it? The shepherd is calling. His sheep may be in a crowd of other sheep belonging to other shepherds, but they hear his voice or a short tune beckoning them to follow. They go towards their master's voice. They trust their shepherd. They know he is devoted to them, that he will keep them safe from danger. And because of this, they are devoted to him. They follow where he leads from one place to the next, from one world to another. Can you hear it? Do you hear him calling? You'll find shepherd imagery throughout much of Scripture. What you may not know is that the celebration of Hanukkah is a season during which Jewish people ask difficult questions about failed leadership and false shepherds. The only reference to Hanukkah, or the festival of dedication, as it is referred to in the Bible, is found in chapter 10 of John, just after, in the verses just following our gospel reading this day. Prior to the events that take place in the Gospels, Israel becomes more and more influenced by the cultural and religious life of the Greek. Scripture is translated into a Greek translation referred to as the Septuagint because many Jewish people could not read Hebrew, but they understood Greek. There were Jews who resisted this assimilation referred to as Hellenization, and they lived in direct opposition to those who, in their minds, had compromised their culture and beliefs. Corrupt priests such as Jason and Menelaus were viewed to be key contributors to the downfall of Jewish temple worship, Jewish ritual being ruled illegal, scrolls of scripture being burned to ashes, the temple desecrated by pig's blood, and a pagan idol erected in the temple. A war erupted in the 160s BC between conservative Jewish fighters and Greek and Hellenized Jews led by Judas Maccabeus, who captured Jerusalem's temple and rededicated it in 165 BC. Hanukkah is Hebrew for dedication, which became the name of the winter festival which commemorates these events, Festival of Dedication. So as Jesus shares this parable of the shepherd, gate, and sheep, all of this is fresh in the minds of the Jewish people. Once more, there is division among the people at the center of this is Jesus, who mixes his metaphors, referring to himself as both the shepherd and gate as the story progresses. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, it says. He talks about there being these other voices, thieves who led sheep toward death while he leads them to life. Could he be referring to forces of evil? Could he be referring to false messiahs or religious leaders who have compromised their faith, claimed to be who Jesus actually is? Could it be a little bit of all of that? Time and time again in the Gospels, we find Jesus basically provoking these religious leaders, in essence, digging his own grave or building his own cross, as it were. In C.S. Lewis's Narnia novels, there is a wardrobe which allows the main characters to step from one world into another. This is what Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection offers us, the opportunity to step into another world, to hear his voice calling out to us, to follow him as he leads away from compromising ourselves. that which entices us to distance ourselves from God and guides us toward a life that isn't devoid of sacrifice or suffering, but allows us to truly experience life in all its fullness, to see it the way that God sees it, sees us. Over the course of our current sermon series, we've been journeying alongside Christians who have been exiled from that which is familiar and comfortable to them. They are on the outside looking in. The exiles are suffering for their faith. They do not worship many gods as the dominant culture does, but the one true God. They do not look forward to the coming of a Messiah they believe has already come to save them. They are outsiders even in their own families, their culture, among their own people, and they are punished for it. Our second reading from a letter called 1 Peter has been inappropriately used to justify slavery in human history. It does not give us permission as Christians to inflict pain and suffering upon another person. Instead, it warns that if we live our faith, we will endure suffering. We will endure persecution. We will endure being on the outside looking in. We will experience exile. We will suffer for doing what is right. In our country, that mostly comes in the form of rejection or character assassination. In our present time, it may look like staying home and staying away from people, even though we really want to get out. Even though it would be such a relief to be around people because we need that human connection. But we know that we are responsible for the people around us. We are meant to love our neighbors, and so we stay. Jesus is calling out to us. His life and teaching, his death and resurrection, they reveal to us that we are self-serving and easily swayed by the voices of our culture, telling us that its way is easier and happier and fulfilling and just makes more sense. Scripture convicts us. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross convicts us of our unrighteousness while he bore the punishment. But more than that, it leads us to a new path, a better way of life, another world that is not temporary or devoid of meaning, but a world that is eternal, everlasting. I want to invite you to reflect this day on what culture tells you. What does our culture say is true? And then listen to Jesus' voice. Reflect on what Jesus says is true. Where do our culture and Jesus agree? Where do they disagree? Which voice are you going to listen to, and why? You know, sometimes it can be so difficult to hear God's voice. We hear our names called all the time. Maybe it's from our children constantly calling out. And in fact, they call out so much, they want that connection. Sometimes they call out and they don't actually want anything. They just want to connect. We hear our names called at work or at school, even though we are at home, as we have responsibilities there. We hear, if you're on social media, which most of you are as you're watching this, you get those notifications on your phone or in your email that tell you that there's someone, something that you should pay attention to. It calls out your name. Then there is the news, and all the other things that our culture says, calling out to us. For instance, going back to your email, there's that spam folder where all of that stuff from all of these companies who want you to buy things or to give money go. But they're calling out for you. Pay attention to me. And so it can be so difficult to hear the voice that is patient, the voice that sometimes is difficult to identify in the midst of all of that noise. It's the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, our shepherd, calling us to follow him into a new world, a new way of seeing this world, of seeing ourselves. There is a loving shepherd who calls you by name, my friends. He knows you, and he loves you, and he wants you to follow him into another world, the world as he sees it. Can you hear him? Do you hear his voice? The more and more you listen, the more and more you will hear him calling out to you. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.